If I said to you, the root of all evil is, most people go, oh, yes, I know what that is. Money. Well, it's actually, if you believe that, if you believe money is the root of many evils, and you are aspiring to manifest the love of God consciously, you do not have congruence in your being. So 95%, which would be your subconscious, which is, you know, money is, if that's your subconscious belief that money is evil, and you've got a conscious belief that money is evil, but you're trying to aspire to be love, then you'll actually shun money opportunities. You'll mismanage it because that is a fundamental belief that overrides the conscious. So that's why we in the Money Fitness community, we delve into all this because it's so important. It's a starting point with pretty much anything, isn't it, really?
I am Liz Wright. Welcome to Live Your Best Life. The only thing that matters now is living by the power of this wonderful new creation life. We're going to become an undefeatable force of radiating glory, and we are rising up strong now in this hour. Hi, everybody. Welcome to this week's what's going to be really special episode of Live Your Best Life with, of course, me, Liz Wright, and my extremely special guest joining me for today's conversation is, as you will all know, is my husband. So a man that I really honor and really respect and know extremely well is a man of absolute integrity. In a professional capacity, he is known internationally as a sought-after authority in the area of money and law, specifically the relationship between the two, between money and law. He's also the founder and the CEO of Money Fitness Group, which consists of a number of companies, including Money Fitness Expert, Money Fitness Accounting, and other companies. So lots of you have asked me to ask Wes questions about money because money's a big deal for a lot of you. It's an area of stress, it's an area of confusion. And so I am going to be your voice today with my husband, of course, the amazing Wesley Wright. Wesley Wright, welcome.
Wow. I was wondering who you were talking about then, sweetheart. I mean, that's such an amazing, you know, welcome and description. And I'm thinking, oh, I really want to listen to this guy myself. And oh, it's me. So it's my pleasure
it's
to be
true.
On here with you.
Yeah,
darling.
It's so fun. Oh, it's so fun to have you on. And obviously wearing your professional hat too, you know what I mean? So you can give some empowering truths to people around the whole area of money. So I am going to be the voice of the people for you right
okay.
now.
Okay.
And I thought, so one of the questions, I thought, let's just jump off here and we'll see where we end up going, see where Holy Spirit takes us as well. So number one question, for people that don't know, and actually for people who do know, I have been asked to ask you to share some of your story that's led you to this point of this level of experience and expertise regarding all things money and what, you know, you would call it the money game system, the rules of the money game, right? So can we start there? Can you give us, I realize that's like at least a 3-hour answer, but there's lots of ground to cover because I have a few more questions. But jumping off there, so people get to know who you are and how you ended up Being a voice of authority in this area that's now, you know, you're out now mentoring people, you're now empowering individuals to really become very powerful with regards to their stewardship of money. Okay, so can you tell us some of your story?
Wow. Well, you know much of my story because you've lived it out with me, certainly yes. In the training season of my life. And so, yeah, for those who are familiar with calling, purpose, destiny that the Lord gives us, and we're led by the Holy Spirit. So I actually thought for about 13 or 14 years, I was in my destiny. I was walking in my calling, but actually I wasn't. I was in a preparatory step to walking in my calling. And of course, Holy Spirit showed you when we first met that, you know, well, I wasn't actually walking in my calling, but you saved me a little bit of heartache at the time. So I carried on believing I was walking in my calling. But no, I was in a training season. That training season lasted anywhere between 12 and 14, 15 years. And there was lots of different points in that training season. Obviously, you enter a training season like the Lord entered into, you know, into the wilderness. He was full of the Spirit. So he didn't go into the wilderness, you know, battered and bruised. And he went full of the Spirit. And when I entered my training season, oh my goodness me, I was full of the joy of the Lord, full of the Holy Spirit, full of belief, totally believed that, oh, you know, everything was possible. Now, you have to have that level. Right. And it was consolidated by every meeting we went to. People would be, you know, running over the tops of chairs trying to give me a prophetic word to say, oh, the Lord says this. And it was such a thread and such an encouragement. And you can attest to that. You know, there was preachers in the pulpit. You, sir, you know. And
constantly.
I mean, it's everywhere we went. But that was because when you go through trials and tribulations, you have to know that you know that you know who you are in Christ, who you are. So your identity. So I knew my identity. And then you start to go through various trials and tribulations, you know, training. And there was lots of different training things. So to put it in a sort of money speak, law speak, really, the Lord had me as a kingdom investigator, actually delving into the money systems, the financial systems, banking, and looking into law and looking into the legality of money and looking into how it actually works, how it's created, and looking at all the fine points. And that took many, many years. And so there was a lot of experience, a lot of knowledge, and a lot of interesting people met along the way who now are part of my team, the wider team, hugely experienced, really good, solid characters. I mean, yes, it's a 3-4-hour, 5-hour thing to really, you know, go into what happened and why it happened. But yes, I was invited. I think the biggest thing, I was invited to go on a journey with God. I wasn't forced. I wasn't told to. There was an invitation, and I accepted the invitation after a very, very vivid encounter. You know, I would say that, you know, when you've had that type of encounter with his heart, there is only one answer, and it's yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Because so, again, just in brief, because I know these are huge stories, that you guys, I know you're going to begin. Okay, so what was the encounter? Because obviously that was the foundation of everything that you then entered into, which was a very challenging walk. It is an understatement, as you began to learn, actually, like you said, how money actually works. Mm-hmm. And now with all that brilliant knowledge, you not only work at a high academic level, but you also now, I think that's part of the gifting that the Lord's put on your life, is you can disseminate extremely complicated areas into sound bites that empower all of us to be able to understand money and understand how to be powerful stewards of money from a place of really understanding what it's all about. Okay, so just backing up a little bit, can you share with us the God moment that gave you the power to walk in obedience, because you were then carrying his heart, weren't you, from that point?
Yeah. It was, and I use your words here, it was an identificational repentance type encounter. I had a number of different encounters along the way that were very profound and were anchors in that training season. This particular one was where I was taken into the courts of heaven. It was almost physical. It was so real. And the Holy Spirit led me in an identificational repentance process and prayer for the banking system and the money system and the control system. And it is one of the most astounding, heart-wrenching, gut-wrenching, life-changing experiences I've ever had. Because I didn't know that the reality of what it actually does in the spirit. And it came out through the repentance, being led by the Holy Spirit to, you know, do this, say this now. And oh my word, words are really difficult to describe what it's like when you're in that type of encounter. It was amazing, but humbling. It was eye opening, but I didn't want to go any further. It was hard. It was incredible. And I started to hear God's heart through it all as well. And I came out of that particular encounter in the courts, and then I heard God's heart about the unfortunate sort of spiritual aspects that then manifest on earth in the physical. And I felt and I heard and I saw God's heart. And it was his heart, it was his desire that was I couldn't say no to. When I absolutely knew and experienced what his desire was on earth as it is in heaven, and I could see the disparity, I could see the difference, and I could see where it needed to change. And that was my yes, when I saw his heart and how much he loves us and how much he so loved the world that he gave, which then means that because he gave so much, we give back. He loved us first. We love because he loves us first. We can give because he gave us first. And it was just that type of encounter that set me on a journey. And it was an anchor. It was an absolute anchor to know that. It's like, third question, am I doing right? Is this right? But when you go back to an encounter like that, that was real, was life-changing, it was an anchor. Absolute anchor.
I remember, and I remember how you then knew, you know, that the Lord profoundly cares about how money is stewarded, how he wants money to become a tool that really does serve and empower people, not enslave people. And so the integrity that we have regarding the stewardship of such a powerful resource, which is obviously your passion, to teach people what that looks like, it was set in place, but it was set in place from his heart. It was you realized money was an issue to God, profoundly so, because like I've heard you say many times, money can buy life. Mm-hmm. It can set people free. It used correctly, it transforms the experience of mankind on this planet for good, you know, when it's done with right intention and right values. So I saw that become a foundational belief in you that had come straight from God's heart. So I wanted to ask you, this is one of the questions that's come in, which sort of flows naturally actually from what we've just been saying. So the question is, what is the most empowering mindset, the correct mindset that we should adopt, the lens that we see money and the stewardship of it through? So I thought that's a really interesting, important question. So what would you say in answer to that question?
I'll try and answer it. It's a good question.
It is a good question. It's interesting.
Yeah. Mindset.
Because people have a lot of different mindsets towards it, right? So,
oh gosh, yeah. Well,
so as kingdom people.
I've just come off doing our live session in the Money Fitness community, and we're actually dealing with belief systems at the moment. So it's a very topical point. So back to back, and
you know, we've very been good
discovering, you know, our money beliefs, and it's really important because your mindset as regards to money will control everything you do with money. And your mindset includes your beliefs and it includes your values. Now, the thing that we don't realize is that about 5% of our beliefs are conscious. 95% of our beliefs are unconscious. And the unconscious will actually dictate what we do. And we're completely unaware of that 95% conscious beliefs around money. And so your mindset is the starting point. And you know, and it, and it's Because a lot of the beliefs that we have around money are inherited. They're just picked up. They were created early on because, but you know, to serve us, but now they might be outdated, you know? And there's other cultural beliefs. I mean, there's a classic belief in the Christian arena that, you know, if I said to you, the root of all evil is, most people go, oh, yes, I know what that is. Money. Well, it's actually, if you believe that, if you believe money is the root of many evils, and you are aspiring to manifest the love of God consciously, you do not have congruence in your being. So 95%, which would be your subconscious, which is, you know, money is, if that's your subconscious belief that money is evil, and you've got a conscious belief that money is evil, but you're trying to aspire to be love, then you'll actually shun money opportunities. You'll mismanage it because that is a fundamental belief that overrides the conscious. So that's why we in the Money Fitness community, we delve into all this because it's so important. It's a starting point with pretty much anything, isn't it, really? But certainly with money, your mindset, we have to have a positive mindset. We have to check to see what we actually believe at a fundamental subconscious level and compare that with our conscious belief. And if there's discrepancies, then we need to start to work to recreate our beliefs because we created them in the first place, whether conscious or unconscious, and we have the power to recreate them, to serve us and our purpose in Christ better.
Oh, I love that, Wes. So money then is a neutral tool. It's the attitude that we come at it with that defines how we then utilize money. So how do we... So taking that example that you've just given, that common belief that the root of all evil is money, right? So, or the love of money.
Well, the reason I said I missed the love out because people miss the love part, and we can expand on this a little bit more, but I purposely missed out the word love because, included the word love because, anyway, carry on, sorry. I'm getting excited.
I know you're getting excited because it's your passion.
It's
my husband
passion.
Has no off button ever.
Monetary reform, law reform. Kingdom reform.
Yes. Passionately to set people free and make people powerful.
Absolutely.
So how would you... Yes. Okay, so how would people shift out of that into a place of being very powerful? What mindset do they need to sit in to start to be powerful in handling money well?
Good question. So really, you know, I look at money as just being a very complex, highly advanced multi-tool that really should be operated by people who are qualified operators. Because
love that. Okay. Make us qualified operators then, please.
Exactly.
You know, beliefs and steps.
Yeah, this is the interesting thing about money. Everybody uses it every day of their life. Their very physiological life depends on it. Because if you don't have money, try to pay your mortgage with a smile. Try to pay your car loan with a hug. Try to buy something with a handshake and a hello, good morning. Doesn't work in the economic climate that we currently have. So mindsets are, it's fundamental to being able to actually have the correct perspective. And when you actually can accept that money is a tool, and actually that if you have a tool, so let's say you've got a tool like a drill, or you've got a tool which is, you know, you need training on, you can't just be let loose with a powerful tool and just hope for the best. But that's how most people operate with money. They're let loose with money, which if they're not trained, then just the fact they're operating with it in an untrained fashion, I call that being financially uninitiated, then that can cause havoc. They can accrue toxic debt, which steals from them now. It steals from their financial future, and it will steal from their legacy, i.e. from their children. But people don't know. They don't know the cost. They're never taught the cost. They're never taught what toxic debt is. They're never taught what, you know, different types of debt, how debt can be productive, you know. And, you know, a lot of people think, well, I'm okay. I'm doing okay, you know. But when you really delve down into the subconscious and you actually look at what's really going on, the subconscious, and then you marry the subconscious with the actual actions that are manifesting through them, you know, to see whether they line up. If there's not congruence, which in most people it's not, until you actually go through a conscious process, just hoping for the best will not get you to be financially free. It really won't.
That's so interesting. Okay, so what can you language for us what an internal congruence would look like? What healthy internal beliefs look like so that we can begin to manifest stewardship of finances, kingdom people, wisely with a right attitude of heart?
Okay. Yeah. Wow. So for me personally, this is me just speaking personally, I have a belief that money on earth is power. And the more money you have, the more power you have. And if you have power, you have an ability to do things. You can influence, you can do things. So money is power. Hold that there. Money can buy life. Because if you have enough money, and there's amazing people like Troy Brewer and people like that, they do amazing things. You know, they buy children out of slavery. There's an example of how money can buy life, right? So holding, you know, money can buy life. Money is power. And then we've also got the other aspect, which is I don't believe that money is evil or is good. I actually just believe it's a tool. Mm-hmm. And then when you add to that, I actually look at, and I actually believe that the whole economic system of the world is just a complicated game. And I call it the money game. And if you have that attitude and you believe that, well, if you believe it's a game, then the instant next thought is, well, if it's a game, well, there must be rules. Oh, if there are rules, what are those rules? And if people are watching now, I just, well, what do you think the rules of this grand money game are? You might be able to point out one or two, but you might not know many of them. And there are hidden rules as well. So in order to play the game well and to steward well, it's not just something that you wake up one morning and you are an amazing steward. I call that financial intelligence. So there's a continuum. Mm. You've got the financially uninitiated. You've got the financially illiterate. You've then got the financially literate, and you've got the financially intelligent. And that's where we seek to be, because they are winners. And a winner in the money game is somebody that's financially free. Now, that's just a means to the end. And what is the end? The end is your purpose. You came here to do and be. And there are so many, this is what gets me, there are so many amazing people that cannot walk out their purpose because they don't have the freedom to do so. And why don't they have the freedom? They are working a job 9 to 5 for somebody else or something else that's not their calling, they shouldn't be doing, because they'll feel it. They'll know it. And so what we teach is how you become financially free, i.e. your passive income exceed your living expenses, which frees your time up to do what? Not go and have a year, 2 year, 5 year holiday, but to be who you are, to do your purpose, to do the will of the Lord, to bring kingdom on earth. It's a means to the end. The end is purpose, which is our starting point in him, right? That's why we came. Mm-hmm. That's why he, you know, it's why, anyway, another subject.
Yes.
In front of the day.
Yeah, but profound words. I mean, it's the truth, isn't it? The Lord wants us to prosper so that we, and be wise, be educated in how to steward brilliantly with the wisdom of God, with the understanding, right? With excellence, with, like you say, with knowledge of the natural system's rules so that we can navigate the game wisely, like the Lord's taught you and you've learnt or over all these decades.
Yes, yes.
So that we can fulfill our calling. Absolutely brilliant. That's what it's all about, right? And whatever age we're at. So if you guys are like, you know, getting on in natural years, it's not too late for any of us, Wes, is it?
No, no, absolutely not. No, because there's things that you can do, you can change. You know, some people will feel a little bit out of depth and some people feel like they're out of control. There's little things that people can do, just little, you know, empowering habits that can change those, you know, negative feelings and negative beliefs. No, absolutely. And then you add the sort of whole supernatural wisdom to it as well. We all of us should be walking in financial freedom, really, because, you know, otherwise the enemy has taken our time away from us, which should be allocated for the focus and the manifestation of our calling.
So brilliant. So, amen. I mean, yes, absolutely. And you can see in scripture, like, you know, you look at Solomon's wealth, you look at David's wealth, you look at Abraham's wealth, you know, there was ample provision provided for people so that they could, like you just said brilliantly, you know, Joseph, another example, so that they could fulfill their purpose and ultimately tell the story of their relationship with God and reveal his nature as the wealth is stewarded with wisdom and values that reflect his heart as well. You know, so we can, like you were mentioning Troy, you know, the manifestation of the kindness of the Father comes through Troy's life as he's, you know, and many others, Heidi Baker and others, you know, that we know and love and respect who are doing the will of God and are able to do it through his presence on a foundation of trust and believing the Lord, but then well-resourced. So brilliant. And that's what you equip people to do, isn't it? I mean, literally for whatever they feel their purpose is. Okay, oh my gosh, there's about 300 questions I want to ask you now. But anyway, we can always do part two. And guys, do send in your questions as well, because, you know, I'm very privileged to be able to grab my husband to come on the show and do part two and answer any more questions that you have. Okay, so I wanted to ask you just practical steps, just for a few, one, two, threes. Like if people are, you know, are listening right now and going, okay, what are the rules of the money game? So two questions really, Wes. Give us some tips and also tell us what they would experience with you if they come on the journey with you.
Yes, you see, this is the thing. I'm a great proponent for journeys. I don't think you can take a course, even if it's a 15-week course or even a 6-month course, and start and finish and be absolutely, that's it, you're done. You've got your mindset, everything's sorted, and you don't need to do anything else, because that doesn't follow the biblical principle, which is renew your mind. And that's a continued process, which we need to renew our mind. So that's why I set up a community, because I realized that actually this is an ongoing process and we learn together. Yes, I'm the lead mentor and I take people on a journey. It's a journey of discovery. It's a journey of training. It's a journey of dreaming. It's a journey of actually learning the nuts and bolts, because there are practical steps that we need to do. There are things that are actually formulaic. There are systems and there are processes, and they're non-negotiable. Just like if you want to play the game of Monopoly, well, you play by the rules. You don't play by tennis rules or rugby rules, because you'll absolutely fail. So there's a learning experience. We need to learn what the rules are. The sum that will benefit us, the sum that won't benefit it, and we'll fall foul of them. So we need to learn how to not fall foul of them. So there's practical aspects as well. There's mindset aspects, there's systems aspects. And so, yes, you know, that's why I set up the Money Fitness community, a little bit sort of inspired by the international mentoring community, which is what you host.
Yes.
And we have a community, and, you know, people subscribe, and we have two live sessions every month. And we go on a journey. So people have been on the journey with me and they've been discovering their beliefs and they've been being taught what the money game is. What does it look like? What are its components? What are the rules? You know, and what are the pitfalls? Because there are pitfalls. And if you fall foul of the pitfalls, then you get punished by those rules. So let's learn what they are so you don't get punished. You can actually swing them around and utilize them for your benefit. So anyway, yes, I mean, I didn't answer your first bit, which was what are the few steps? But of course, I'm going to say, check out the link below, which is our Money Fitness Community link. Have a read of that. It's a good fit for you. You'd be more than welcome to join. And we've got a discount of 44% for all you viewers off our monthly subscription. And it's really, honestly, it's a really good thing. I know, you know, I love it, but there are people who are learning fantastic things. And it delights me to see people when I see them have a eureka moment. They have a revelatory moment in what's not really a overtly Christian offering, because there are non-Christians in there as well, predominantly Christians, which is, I find that interesting. Predominantly 95% of the membership are Christians from the IMC, from all over the world. And so, see if that's a good fit. But if it's not a good fit, then, you know, work on mindset first, your belief systems. That's the first step. Start to uncover what you actually believe at a subconscious level and see whether those beliefs at an unconscious level are congruent with your conscious level beliefs. If they're not, then we need to start to look at, or you need to start to look at changing them. That's talking with the Lord. That's, you know, having dialogue with him. Oh, I've noticed that this is incongruent with this. I think money is evil. Oh, what do you say about that, Lord? You know, I had a conversation with him about the love of money, and he completely obliterated that from, totally changed my opinion of that. It's not the love of money at all that's the root of many evils. It's the lust of power. And that came from a dialogue with the Lord. So dialogue with the Lord about what your belief systems are, what your structures are, your subconscious. That's the first place to start with money. Before any practical step. And then we can start to look at the practical steps, which is your systems. So you have systems, which then also tie in with your goals. But you can't have good goals until your mindset's right. Because if your mindset and beliefs are not quite supporting you, then you'll have the wrong goals, because your goals will always reflect your beliefs, and then your systems will support your goals. So that's why you start with your mindset and your belief systems first.
So brilliant. So brilliant. Okay, in finishing, I would love you to pray for people, Wes. You have so much authority in this area. Can we finish by doing that?
Of course. My pleasure. And thank you for having me on.
Anytime.
All right. Okay. All right. So, okay. Oh, Heavenly Dad, I thank you. I thank you for who you are. I thank you that you are good. You are good. You are good. And you are good. And your ways are better than the world's ways. Way better. And your love is as wine. It's amazing. And I would like to release over the people watching this, you beautiful people who are watching this show, the love of God into you and into and through your mindset, into and through your goals, into and through your systems and processes of managing money, that you would see where the Lord would have you be, so you can be free to walk, talk, and manifest who you truly are in Him.
Wow.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Wow, really? Wow.
Goodness me.
My husband's officially wrecked.
I am.
This is part of governance. This is part of the Lord equipping us, family, right now. It's true, isn't it, Wes? He's bringing us forth to showcase his brilliance and his excellence and his nature through everything that we do. And how to steward well is a huge part of it, to come out of fear of lack, to come out of fear of wealth, to come out of inability, like Wes said, to move forward powerfully as kingdom people, to steward the resources of the earth and to walk in the reason why we're on this planet. So we thank you, Jesus, for a shift forward for all of us in this area. Thank you, Lord. And like Wes, you know, has extended that invitation to you. If you need this extra support, jump on and see whether this is a fit for you right now for your life. If the Lord wants to equip you additionally with the wisdom and the experience that Wes walks in and his team. There's not just Wes, he has also some other leading experts that are speaking into this matter that will empower your life. So, amen. Anyway, we'll stop there for now. Have a fabulous week. We agree. Breakthrough, breakthrough, breakthrough in your life. The Lord will shift you forward in the reason why you're alive. And we look forward to seeing you next week. God bless.